Lynn wrote in this hour talking about his Arizona tradition.
Oh, yeah?
This is an interesting one. The Central Arizona Cactus and Succulent Society has a Christmas potluck and exchange. Have you ever gone to a Christmas party where you bring a dessert, you know, cookies or package, and you put
I always
your
bring
tray
that fruitcake I got in 1976.
Right. And it's got to be cut up because what you do is when you leave, then you take one sample of everyone else's. So you leave and you've got this variety of desserts. Well, they do that, but with cactus and succulents. So you go and you bring a little barrel cactus or a Christmas cactus. Or I mean, the number of and varieties of cactus and succulents are in the thousands, hundreds of thousands from all over the world. So
yeah,
there's a potluck.
I can tell you one of Jennifer's new traditions on that topic that I think she started, and I don't think she's going to be able to stop. This is going to be a tradition that kind of becomes family all-consuming, and it's her October-November harvesting of prickly pear fruit and then distributing the prickly pear syrup and marmalade and jellies. I think you've created a monster with this tradition.
Well, I love it because we found so many neat recipes and so many things to do with it afterwards, you know.
Well, I tell you, that bottle that you added that little bit of vanilla to and just take a teaspoon of it and add it to a glass of iced tea, you could patent that. That is absolutely the treat of a lifetime. It's delicious.
Thank you.
Wow. Sure is a lot of work.
Well, we're getting smarter. Working smarter.
Most things worth doing are.
Yeah. You know, one of the other family traditions, and I'm giving my mom, Baby Kay, a lot of credit because, you know, as a mother of eight, she had to be creative on how we all got involved in celebrating this. And so she was the first of all the in-laws, you know, like, now she has five daughters and she has three sons and all married. And so she is the first one that volunteers and say, look, y'all don't have to come here on Christmas Day. Give it a rest. If you have to go see your other in-laws, that's fine. If you want to spend the holiday just at your own home with your own family, that's fine too. But let's get together the day after and have a big event. So I'm curious about those of you with big families, families that all basically get along very well. How do y'all spread the in-law load out? I haven't been that generous. I told my kids, look, you can forget the in-laws. You can go visit them on New Year's. You come into my house on Christmas Day.
How has that worked for you?
Not very well.
So Christmas Eve morning is our new Christmas. Just get over it.
It's really hard for me. That's really, really pushing me to the very limit.
I'll take what I can get.
Golly. All right, let's get back to the phones. We're talking home improvement and family holiday traditions, and we don't want to miss this opportunity to wish all our listeners as well not only a very Merry Christmas, but a very blessed and happy Hanukkah. Are we going to Tom in Scottsdale?
We are. Welcome.
Let's go to Tom in Scottsdale.
Morning.
Morning, Tom.
Hi. Boy, it's funny. You named the same two traditions my family uses. What about drawing names? And then, because we're kind of large, we gather at someone's house the day after. Usually one of my older brothers will host, and they trade every year who's the host so people can go where they need to go the day of and the day after. All my brothers and sister-in-laws and niece and nephews get together.
You know, I'm sure being from a big family, Tom, you experienced some of the thing our families at Christmas Day became a day in the car. I mean, you basically were filling out your obligations by driving around to all these different homes and stuff. You got home that night and you thought, wow, I'm glad that's over.
Yeah, so we took care of that pretty quickly, so I'm glad we worked it out.
Spreading it out is great. All right, how can we help you with your home today?
Well, I have a small condo up in North Scottsdale that has, I think it's called a heat pump that sits on the roof. And a couple weeks ago, I went to turn the heat on. I got air, no heat, and I let it run for a while, and it ran for over like half an hour and never, ever heated up, so I just shut it off, and it's been off since. Haven't really needed it, but we're getting into the point where I could think I'm going to need it pretty soon.
Tom, are you a part-time resident?
No, No, I'm full time.
Okay, all right. So you're year round. You just didn't try to turn the heat on before a couple weeks ago.
Correct.
Okay. So you like your home cool?
Well, on the cooler side, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Listen, the way a heat pump works is it is only going to generate air that's about 90 degrees. So that's cooler than your body temperature. And that's on a good day. But on a wet, cold morning, it's going to even have trouble reaching that temperature. So the way a heat pump works is you just set it the temperature you want. Chances are that's going to be something less than 90 degrees. It's going to be, you know, 68, 70 degrees. It will eventually get there. If you want to, since you're in Scottsdale, run by one of the little hardware stores in the area and get one of these thermometers that you can just stick into the supply register of the air conditioner. When the heat comes on, see if it doesn't reach up about 90 degrees. Again, it won't feel warm because that's cooler than your body temperature, but it works slow. It works gradually, but it'll work. I'm going to come back with a trick for you to try right after the next break, which is top of the hour. It'll take a few minutes, but stay tuned. What to do when your heat pump just will not give you 90-degree air.
And sign up for our weekly newsletter to receive the Garden Tip of the Week, special offers, and discounts.